We're going to read from Luke chapter 9, and we shall commence our reading at verse 57. This is the time as Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem with his disciples, and along the way he meets three men. Let's read and see what conversation took place between them. Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. And God's word says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not anywhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but thou go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And we trust that the Lord shall bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. On the 25th of May 1961, President John F. Kennedy made an announcement to the American people for his support of the Apollo space program. And this is just some of what he said. He says, First, I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to Earth. The president went on to say, We choose to go to the moon in this decade, not because it is easy, but because it is hard. Friends, what a challenge, what determination and what confidence the president had in the American people, and especially in the people at NASA. Well, NASA, in answering President Kennedy's challenge in landing a man on the moon, required the largest commitment of resources ever made by any nation in peacetime. Over $25 billion would be the cost, and at its peak, the Apollo program employed over 400,000 people, with the backup and the support of over 20,000 industrial firms and universities. And so it was that on the 20th of July 1969, that Neil Armstrong, a 38-year-old American, climbed down the ladder of the lunar module and made man's first steps on the moon. And it was when he said those famous words, which are now part of history, one small step for man, one giant leap for all mankind. What a great feat of human endurance and endeavor to go where no man has gone before, a true commitment, or a true test of courage, of determination and commitment. But friends, whenever we look to the Bible and whenever we read the Word of God, I believe that it is there where we find the most important, the greatest and the most difficult and the most painful journey that has been undertaken in all of history. This journey did not involve a cost of $25 billion, nor was there a workforce needed of over 400,000 people. No, the journey that we read of here is of the Lord Jesus Christ as he rode on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem. And it would be there where he would endure the agony, the pain, and the suffering on that Roman cross for the sins of all mankind and for all who would come and put their trust and believe in him. Well, it is in this middle portion of Luke's Gospel, between chapters 9 and 19, where we find a record of that great journey. This is where we find written accounts of the many people whom Jesus met, people like the rich young ruler, Bartimaeus, and Zacchaeus are all mentioned among others as well. In Luke chapter 9, where we have read from tonight, it tells us in this passage of three other men whom Jesus had met one after the other. And it is here where I want us to concentrate our thoughts this evening. My friends, if you glance down from verses 57 to 61, you'll notice that the key word that is used here is follow. You see, two of these men had expressed their desire to follow Christ, while in verse 59, it is Jesus who commands another man to follow him. But as we consider these three men for just a short time tonight, I want you to notice that their attitudes and their opinions are very similar to those which are adopted by many people today. Folks, it is my prayer this evening that in presenting these men and in the hindrances that kept them from following Christ is to persuade our unsaved friends to be aware and careful and not to adopt those same attitudes that these three men did and which stopped them from following Christ. Now, I know that this passage mainly focuses on the cost of discipleship, and we will think about that as well. But there is also a gospel message here, and I want to see if we can glean some precious truths from it. So as we look at these three men, I want us to notice three dangers that can keep us or hinder us from following Christ. The first is the danger of personal ease and comfort. Friends, the first man presents us with the danger of seeking our personal conveniences and our comforts. In verse 57 of our reading, as the Lord was making his way to Jerusalem, a man comes up to him and he says, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." This man was telling Jesus that he wants to follow him. Well, there was nothing wrong with that. On the surface, there seems to have been nothing at all wrong with what this man has said. What he has said seems to have been sincere and genuine, and therefore we would have expected Jesus to welcome him with open arms. But Jesus didn't bring him on board, because in verse 58, Jesus answered this man when he says, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." You see, Jesus knew that this man had not counted on the cost of discipleship. He was telling Jesus of his readiness to follow him, while all the time Jesus was reading what was in this man's heart. And what he saw indicated that this man's motives and his thoughts were nothing more than just mere words. The Lord knew that he would follow him as long as it was convenient and comfortable for him to do so. But at the first sign of difficulty, of hardship, this same man would leave all and abandon ship. You know, friends, we live in a time when people place great priority on conveniences, on personal ease and comforts. We have convenient shopping where we pick up the phone, order goods, and they're delivered to our door. We have various forms of transport which make travel much more pleasant and much more comfortable. We have our computers and we have the internet, which saves time and makes things easier to do. And I agree, yes, these things and many other things, much, much more, all add to make life that bit more easier and more convenient for us. This is progress, and we should not get in the way of progress. But I would also stress that unless we are careful, there can also be great dangers attached when we adopt the same attitude of seeking our own personal conveniences and comforts. And I say that because what we might consider to be matters of convenience in a personal way and personal choice, God, on the other hand, may regard as necessities and which are not for our own choosing. Friends, we must be aware that when we are seeking the Saviour, it's not about doing it in our own time and in our own terms and when it is convenient to us. That is not what becoming a Christian is about. What we should remember is what the Lord did for us. Let us remember that right at the center of Christianity, there stands a cross. It wasn't convenient for Jesus to leave the glories of heaven and become man. It was not convenient for him to suffer the brutality of wicked men, to be whipped, to be spat upon, and to be ridiculed. Friends, it wasn't convenient for Jesus to die on the cross. But rather, he, out of obedience to the Father and out of a love to us, did all this and more for our redemption. And now he says to each and every one who would seek to follow him, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I wonder if there's perhaps someone here tonight, and as yet you are taking the same stance as this man in our passage whom we have been reading about. And in his heart, Jesus knew that this man was only speaking mere words. He wanted to follow Jesus, all right, but not at the cost of giving up his personal comforts. The question for us tonight is this. The question for you tonight is, do you value eternal life enough to repent of your sins and to commit yourself and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will you be like this man by continuing to go your own ways and to do your own things and to reject the same Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, there's a message here for the Christian as well tonight. We need to be very conscious and aware that there are aspects of our Christian lives which are vital to spiritual growth and which in turn we do not allow to become optional. I know that people have duties and they have commitments which are necessary and they cannot be avoided. But what we need to take into account is that we do not allow those things which are necessary to our personal growth and to our maturity as Christians, that we do not allow them to become optional. For instance, what about our church attendance, Bible reading, our prayer times, our worship, getting involved in the work of our local church, to name just a few things? Friends, this is a day and age when, as God's people, let us very much be on our guard that we do not permit those things which are true blessings and privileges that we have and which help us and guide us in our Christian lives to become only conveniences and optional extras which we sometimes take for granted. Let's remember, above all, that if the Lord Jesus Christ was inconvenienced for us, how much more should we be inconvenienced for him? In this man in our passage whom we have read about, the first man, we hear no more of him. But he does remind us about the dangers of our personal conveniences and comforts. So as we have seen, the first danger to hinder us from following Christ are the dangers of personal ease and comforts. The second danger to hinder us from following Christ is the peril of procrastination. Friends, this second man whom Jesus spoke to presents us with the peril of procrastination. It simply means to delay, to put off, to postpone. In verse 59, the Lord commands this man to follow him. And then he responds to Jesus, and this is what he says. He says that he first wanted to go and bury his father. You know, when Jesus asked this man to follow him, he knew that he had to come up with a very good excuse. And in saying that, he seems to come up with what was a very good reason, and that he had to go and bury his father. Well, to you and to me, this seems like a very good excuse. Here we have a person who may have wanted to follow the Lord, but that he has also a very difficult and an important duty that he has to perform. Or so it seems, perhaps. Because, folks, if we were to stop and think for just a moment, we would see that there's something not right here. There's something that just doesn't add up. And I say that, for if this man had to go and bury his father, well, then why was he not doing it? Why instead was he out on the road waiting to catch a glimpse of Jesus as he journeyed along? The answer in all probability was that this man's father may not have been dead. And that he in turn was asking Jesus to put off his demand to follow him until his father had died and was buried. Friends, this was only a plea to postpone and to delay and to put off. It was obvious that this man had never really intended to follow Jesus. And also he had failed to notice just how urgent and important that the demands truly are to following Jesus. You know, I believe that there are great truths to be gleaned from this message as well, for both the Christian and for those who are still outside of Christ. You see, Jesus wanted this man to understand the urgent nature of his mission, in that he came into this world to save sinners and to save us from the power of sin and death. As God's people, should the mission of the church not be the same? To reach the community outside who are lost and who are dying without Christ, friends, we must understand that in following Christ, we must be prepared to get our hands dirty in lots of work, such as outreach and other such things. There's a lost and a dying world out there and who need the same hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask ourselves, it doesn't matter if you're a young person or an older person, perhaps the Lord is calling you to do some work or some service for him, and after much prayer and much consideration, you can see that God's call is very, very clear in your heart. Well, if he's pointing you to some part of his vineyard, some small part in which to serve him in some small way, then do not delay, do not put off, and do not postpone in seeking to serve and to follow the Lord. I wonder if there's perhaps someone else here tonight, and that you also have taken the same opinion and think the same way as this man whom we have just read about, concerning your own salvation, and this is what you might say. Yes, Lord, I will trust you. Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first do this, do that, or do the other. Let me first do my exams and go through university. Let me first get married and settle down. Let me enjoy life and wait until I retire. Let me go through life and go my own way and do my own thing. And when I am sick and weak and weary and am unable to look after myself, well, then I will call upon you, and then I will trust you, and then I will follow you. That's the attitude that some people have in this world today. Friends, let me say that to delay, to postpone, or to put off regarding your salvation, let me tell you, is a very, very dangerous thing to do. For instance, whenever we think of death, it can strike at any time and at any place. It is neither a respecter of age or person. It touches the young person, it touches the older person. It visits the palace, it visits the poor man's cottage. Indeed, in the Word of God, doesn't it tell us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment? I hope you will forgive me if I could use just one small illustration regarding my late parents, just to reinforce a point that I'm trying to make. I remember my mother, whenever she was alive, she openly said to Pastor Taylor that she needed to be saved, but that she wasn't ready just yet. Well, whenever she was in hospital, I one day received a call from the ward sister to say that my mother's condition had deteriorated and that the surgeon decided that he was going to do emergency surgery. As fast as I could, I ran home from work, got into my car, I collected my father, and we arrived at the city hospital within 20 minutes. Upon entering the ward, the surgeon came to me and he said that they were clearing a theatre and it would be there that they would try and fight to save my mum's life. He also said that she only had a 50-50 chance of survival. I asked if my father and I could speak to the surgeon or speak to my mother. And the surgeon said, well, he says, Stephen, you've got 2 minutes. In that 2 minutes we read from the Bible in John chapter 3 and verse 16. My mum gloriously and thankfully and prayerfully put her trust in the Lord. And we prayed that, giving thanks to God for what he had done. My father and I, we had just such a short time. We told her that we loved her. Little did we know, that we would never speak to her again. Because after almost 6 hours of surgery, my mother spent 2 days in the intensive care on life support before she passed into eternity. Friends, my mother was very fortunate. I believe that God allotted her that 2 minutes the most important 2 minutes of my mother's life. But I want to emphasize the point that God doesn't always work like that. Because in my father's case, death struck as like a thief in the night. He had taken ill in his sleep. He never regained consciousness and passing away within just a few hours. You know, I thank God every day that not long after my mum died, my father had trusted the Savior. You know, if my mother had delayed to put off, or if she postponed salvation until after the operation that she had, there would have been tragic eternal circumstances. In my father's situation, it would have been the same. But the big question for us is this tonight. It could happen to any one of us. You know, the Bible teaches that outside of the Lord's return, each and every one of us will go through the experience of death. As we have seen, death can strike suddenly, or it can strike after a lingering illness. But friends, whether it be one way or whether it be the other, we must accept that it is coming, and therefore we must be prepared for death. And the only way in which to prepare for death is through putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In returning to this man in the passage of Scripture that we have read, you can see how Jesus saw right through this man's heart, as easy as he had the first man. That's why he said to him, "Let the dead bury their dead." Jesus was calling on this man to get his priorities right. He wanted this man to follow him and to do things God's way and in God's time. And tonight he is asking you and me to do the same, to trust and to follow the Lord. So the first danger to hinder us from following Christ are the dangers of personal ease and comforts. The second danger is the peril of procrastination, to delay, to put off, to postpone. The third and final danger to hinder us from following Christ is the danger of a divided heart. The danger of a divided heart. Let's look at verses 61 and 62 and see what this third man says to Jesus. He said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home in my house." Jesus said this to him. He says, "No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Friends, like this first man here, we see someone who has stated again their eagerness to follow Christ. But this is a man who quickly places a condition in that he first of all wants to go and bid farewell to his family. Well, like the other two previous, this seems to be a perfectly reasonable request. In fact, this man would have had a scriptural basis for asking it. If you remember, Elijah had allowed Elisha to bid farewell to his family before taking up the work in which he had been called to. But let's also remember that it is Jesus who is dealing with this situation, and that it is Jesus who is also the great reader of men's hearts. And in knowing that, the Lord knew that these two situations were completely different and that they were not equal. You see, Elisha's request came from a heart that was eager to follow Christ, while this man's request came from a heart which was reluctant to follow. The fact and the truth of the matter is that this man had given his first priority to someone else other than Jesus. Friends, I speak to my own heart whenever I ask this question. As believers in Christ, are we also very guilty of doing exactly the same thing? As believers, are there those times in our Christian walk when we allow something or someone to draw us away from having a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let me say, let us not be like this man. Let us not be like many today who seem to major or focus on what they could lose in knowing Christ. Yes, if we are honest, at times there can be a cost of following Jesus, and at times it can be great, at times it can be hard and difficult, and at times we may have our own crosses to bear. But having said that, we should also never fail to take stock and be thankful by what we gain in Christ. For instance, the psalmist tells us that we gain his peace. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. We gain his presence when it is Jesus himself who says, "Lo, I am with you always." We also gain his power because it is Paul who gives us the confidence in telling us that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But above all, we have the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of eternal security. Friends, may we always be thankful for the blessings and privileges in knowing the Lord and for those things which accompany our salvation. However, whenever we look at this man, we can see that he had not been gripped by the same spirit that Elisha had. The spirit that Elisha had, as we have said, was willing, was ready, was eager to take up God's call and to allow God to fulfill his purpose in Elisha's life. But here we have a man who was harboring a divided heart. You know, perhaps there is someone here tonight as well, and you are suffering from a divided heart. Yes, part of you would dearly love to have your sins forgiven and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him. And yet at the same time, perhaps there is another part of you which wants you to hang on to your old life and to that life of sin. I would like to tell you tonight that Jesus delivers the same message to you as he did to this man whom we have read about this evening. Friends, the kingdom of God requires a whole heart and not just part of it. The issue that we have thought about tonight is that of becoming a child of God. And tragically, all three of these men fell far short. They came so close to following Jesus, but at the end of the day, they just faded. And they drifted away. They wanted to do their own thing, in their own time, and on their own terms. You know, I think that we would be in agreement in saying that not much has changed from those days until now. Well, yes, we have our own computers, we have our own mobile phones, and as we have seen and talked about, we can even walk on the moon. But the single greatest issue facing each and every person on the face of this planet is exactly the same today as it was then, all that time ago. The question is, what will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask you, will you embrace him tonight as your Savior and follow him and receive the gift of eternal life that he so freely offers? Or will you do the same as these three men, to go your own way and to do your own thing? Let me just say as I finish that if you remember nothing else tonight that I've said, please just remember this. That salvation can be found nowhere except in the one who journeyed to Jerusalem and who went to the cross at Calvary and who paid the price for yours and for my sin. That person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The prayer of every believer in our gathering this evening is that you will seek him while he may be found, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, and to be your friend for time.